This is the PoetryFoundation.org podcast. I'm Curtis Fox. This week, a walk on the weird side. Every now and again on the PoetryFoundation.org podcast, we're going to check out audio poetry resources on the web. One site worthy of frequent extended visits is called UbuWeb at ubu.com. That's UBU.com. UbuWeb is the brainchild of Kenneth Goldsmith, who is, among other things, a poet, a radio host, and a professor. Though he's infinitely hipper than any of the professors I ever had. For example, he teaches a writing class at the University of Pennsylvania called Uncreative Writing.
Right. The students are penalized if they show any degree of originality or creativity. Instead, they learn how to appropriate, how to plagiarize, how to steal, how to file share, how to falsify identities as poetic acts.
Goldsmith started UbuWeb 10 years ago, and it has grown into an online archive of everything avant-garde, including a remarkable collection of obscure art films. But the site got its start with poetry. I recently visited Kenneth Goldsmith in his New York City office and got a tour of the audio poetry available on UbuWeb.
UbuWeb began with a total focus on sound, visual, and concrete poetry. So the collections on UbuWeb are all rooted in that.
What do you mean by sound poetry? Let's hear a little bit, actually.
Oh, sound poetry?
Yeah.
You want to hear something?
Yeah.
Sound poetry?
Yeah.
A classic sound poetry would say be B.P. Nichol. This is called 060173 from 1973.
Feature titty, feature titty, aye-ya! Fally oompa, fally oompa, eh! Dora nora ti tradum, un ele, 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 ele. Beep! Boop!
So what is sound poetry?
Poems that are meant to be heard more than they are to be read. And the experience of hearing the poem is prioritized over reading them. It's usually based in nonsense words, random syllables, little bits of language. It's a transnational movement. It's an internationally based poetry that went from Brazil to Switzerland to Japan, not being particularly contingent upon any one language, but the sounds that people make as opposed to the languages they speak, although very much based in language itself.
Now, of all the sound poems that you have on your site, which is your favorite? Which is the most memorable for you?
Well, I'll tell you, the most memorable sound poem, I would say, is a recording of Marie Osmond doing a Hugo Ball poem from 1916 called Karawane.
Karawane jolly fanto blamba o fali humbla. Hai globlo ai korasula huju holaka holala an logobang blagobang blagobang baso futaka uu 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 uu. Shamba uwalawasa olobo.
Where did you get this recording?
The recording was originally done for a Ripley's Believe It or Not segment, and it was a little short segment that was done on odd sounds that humans make. And Marie Osmond was the co-host. And after doing a section on the Cabaret Voltaire, from a famous Zurich Dadaist club from the early part of the century, Marie Osmond actually herself did an interpretation of Hugo Ball's Karawane.
You have an amazing recording of Apollinaire, the French poet from before World War I, reading his most famous poem, Le Pont Mirabeau.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sous le pont Mirabeau coule la Seine, et nos amours, faut-il qu'ils m'en souviennent, la joie venait toujours après la peine. Vienne la nuit, sonne l'heure.
And that's an amazing. I never knew that existed.
Recorded in 1913.
And where did you find this?
This came off of a this has been floating around on compilations for years and years and years. We have Beckett, we have Joyce. I mean, it's not really from that era, but there isn't much. We have Stein. We have the Stein recordings, or the complete Stein recordings from 1935.
Gertrude Stein.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. You hear the needle hitting the vinyl, which is beautiful.
Extracts from the Making of Americans. Repeating then is in everyone. In everyone, their being and their feeling and their way of realizing everything and everyone comes out of them in repeating. More and more then, everyone comes to be clear to someone. Slowly, everyone in continuous repeating, to them in utis.
Yeah, she's certainly a great poet. And then there's the entire run of the Dial-A-Poem series.
Yeah, this is one of the most amazing projects in New York literary history that I've ever heard of. Explain what Dial-A-Poem project was.
Well, the poet John Giorno.
And John Giorno, let me interrupt, was famous in a way because he was the sleeping guy in Andy Warhol's movie called Sleep. Mm-hmm. He was the guy who was sleeping during the whole film.
Right, yeah. Right. And what John did was he set up a telephone number in New York that you could dial. This is about 66, 67, 68 onward. And you could dial it and you would hear a poem. And it was set to a random number of poems. And it became incredibly popular, so popular that it kind of bankrupted John because he was actually, you know, paying the bandwidth bill, so to speak, in current terms. And so what he did was, John was just doing all these recordings and compilations, and what we have from the Dial-A-Poem are a lot of the poems that you heard on the phone. There was probably 10 or 12, maybe even more, LPs that were very beautifully produced and are long out of print. And so we converted every one of those that we could get our hands into to MP3s. And I mean, there's everything from Voznesky to beautiful poems by Ted Berrigan, Patti Smith.
Let's hear a Patti Smith.
Oh, this is a beautiful thing called Parade.
I salute thee, children of paradise. That's what they call the guys up there. All right, this here is called Parade, and this is dedicated to the great Mummers Parade of Philadelphia. Am I gifted or merely mad? I'm feeling so carnivorous, I could eat live crows. Chomp, chomp, chomp. Rip into life like raw meat.
This is before, or she was a rock star, and she's in New York in the early 70s, you know, as a St. Mark's church poet. And so it's just an absolutely incredible collection. There's lots in Ginsberg and Waldman and Ashbery and Kathy Acker and Eileen Miles and Gary Snyder, and it goes on and on and on. This one particular double LP has 37 tracks.
So you started including most of the avant-garde type stuff. You also have something as un-avant-garde as Ogden Nash.
Well, I mean, it's all your definition of avant-garde. I happen to think that Ogden Nash is extremely avant-garde. But that's the beautiful thing about Uberweb, is that in this context, up against Bruce Nauman, B.P. Nichol, Herman Nitsch, suddenly he's recontextualized as being, I think, a very, you know, a very interesting sound poet.
A word about winter. Now the frost is on the pane, rugs upon the floor again. Now the screens are in the cellar, now the student cons the speller. Lengthy summer noon is gone.
So, I mean, that's just great. You see, the site is all about, it's the rubric or the umbrella of the avant-garde, but it bleeds into other areas.
Who do you think are the avant-garde poets of our time right now?
The avant-garde poets of our time. Well, I mean, you'd have to look at the last major avant-garde poetry movement in the States would be language poetry.
Now, a lot of people may not know what language poetry is. Who's an example of that on your side?
Well, I mean, you know, one of the most, you know, the example would be
Charles
Bernstein. Yeah. Charles, and this is, we've got some beautiful recordings of Charles from the a cassette that he did from the early 70s, about 76, called Class, just when language poetry was taking off.
Can we hear a little bit?
Sure. This is really one of my favorites. It's called 1 to 100.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12.
And he goes all the way through, and by the end, he's screaming.
96, 97, 98, 99.
contract.
So that's a great piece of Charles's called 1 to 100 from, wow, it's early. It's 1969, wow. That piece. Mm-hmm. Very beautiful.
Mm-hmm. The idea of the avant-garde is actually seems somewhat old-fashioned, though.
The idea of the avant-garde, I think, is a very, very broad one. Ubu tries to make all of these desperate characters live together in the same, under the same roof and sort of get along.
Kenneth Goldsmith, thanks very much.
Okay, Curtis, thanks.
Kenneth Goldsmith is the founding editor of the online archive UbuWeb at ubu.com. Check out our audio poetry resources at poetryfoundation.org, where you'll also find poetry news and feature articles. The music used in this program comes from the Claudia Quintet. For the poetryfoundation.org podcast, I'm Curtis Fox.